Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, working with the American farmer, creating products from his crops, creating markets for crops. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at WILL.UIUC.edu.
New contract lows in the corn pit this week, yet the cash market rebounded. We'll try to explain why today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Our panelists today on Commodity Week are Larry Wood of the Andersons here in Champaign County, Illinois, Eric Schuller of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana, and Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois. Let's open today's discussion with this question. December corn futures have made new contract lows for six trading sessions in a row. Still, the drop over those days hasn't been exactly impressive to the downside, just 4.5 cents. Do you view the week's action as a positive sign that the market is ready to rebound, given the lack of downside movement, or just a skip in the trade before a deeper push lower? We'll start with you, Larry Wood.
Well, I think we're just setting a long-term bottom here. I don't see any whole lot of reason for the market to move up. The only thing that we're going to see is the basis starting to rebound here, and in fact, it's already started in Illinois. I haven't really seen the basis rebound or change too much anywhere else because too many people are still too far into fall harvest, whereas we've pretty well wrapped it up around here.
Larry Wood is with the Andersons here in Champaign County. Eric Schiller of Lafayette, Indiana, and Risk Management Commodities.
I think that we'll continue to lose carry and the futures will continue to grind lower as we move through. And like Larry said, the cash come up.
And your estimation, Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing?
Well, we feel the futures is still trying to be in a bottoming prospect. The September went off the board at $1.95, so D's can naturally slip down to there. But over the long haul, you typically record lows in the fall. But the thing is watch the cash, like Larry and Eric mentioned. That's probably where the biggest potential or movement is going to be as we start the seasonal healing in about first week of December.
LDP Friday in most of Illinois, Indiana, and Iowa maintained a record level. It has reached only twice in history, 48 cents, three times rather in history, 48 cents, twice this week and once early this season. Eric, we heard your counterpart tell us Friday afternoon on the closing market report that the futures market might make a drive at least to $1.90, maybe lower. There will be many that take this as a sign that 50-cent corn LDPs are in the future. Does Risk Management Commodities believe that's the case?
Not necessarily, because we believe that the cash is going to strengthen with the river markets freeing up barge traffic as we, you know, wrap up harvest. And so we think the futures has more downside, but the cash shouldn't.
Speaking of the futures, is the way the corn futures settled the Chicago Board of Trade Friday afternoon. December contract at 201.5 high this week, low at $1.96¾, and that's a new contract low. The settlement price for the Dease corn at $1.97, down 4.5 cents from a week ago Friday. July corn at $2.26¾, off 3 cents. One of the things farmers often say to me is that your analysts have been telling us to take LDP all season long. That's ranged, I believe, from 41 cents to 48 cents. So let's say the average corn farmer has pulled the trigger on 400 acres at 150 bushels the acre, and they've managed a 44-cent LDP. On paper, they're now behind $2,400. What is it they could have or might consider doing to protect this LDP position, and would have it cost less than $2,400?
Well, if you figure up the total bushels and try to convert that to a futures or option strategies, it'd probably be a little bit more expensive than just $2,400. But when you look at long-term on that amount, I think you still got to look at the long-term pictures. What you could do to protect that, if you would have went ahead and sold the cash and took advantage of the carry, you'd be money ahead. I think you'd be much better ahead than that. The other things you can do in here is just plain hedge the deferred contracts, or maybe a little bit more expensive route to buy a put to still give you flexibility.
I agree with Kurt. You know, if you've got it in the bin and already taken LDP, it's wise to have a put option on or to have forward sold the carry. And, you know, I don't think there is a way to make up that 2,400, but hopefully you've forward sold some earlier in the year as well.
Selling the carry is exactly what we've been suggesting all along with the wide carry that we currently have in the market, particularly for those who have corn in storage, paying commercial storage. They have to capture the carry. Otherwise, they risk losing all that on down the road, plus paying storage charges.
Yep. So, do you think, Larry, that the November crop report will show a bigger corn crop than it did in October?
It sure feels like it. I'm not saying that it's going to be a whole lot, but it's going to be at where it was in October, it's going to be a little bit higher.
Define sure feels like it to me. What's that mean from the elevator man?
Well, we are just seeing more corn coming at us than we ever expected. And we just haven't seen the horror stories that we were talking about in August come through, just in a few very isolated spots.
Yeah, we kind of think the numbers will get bigger. We're hearing yield reports in eastern Indiana exceeding 210 bushels the acre. And if, you know, the soils aren't near as good as they are in this area, and when we're hearing that, we know that, you know, the bushels are out there.
The Central Illinois cash bid bottomed October the 18th at $1.63.5. Is that low enough for the harvest season?
Short term, I believe so. I think it might be challenged maybe later on down the road, maybe after the first year. We had maybe a second wave of harvest coming as producers throw in the towel after the first year. But I think that's a good benchmark to work with for the next 30 to 45 days.
Anybody working with a cash price lower than that? Not at the moment. How about on the futures side? Are we low enough, or do we go to $1.95, $1.91, $1.90?
Well, I think we're getting close in through here. You know, I think probably the most risk you need to watch is in the deferred contracts. So I think the front end is going to find support and the deferred is going to lose ground.
Yeah, we think the March is probably headed to that $2 area and pushing the Dece maybe down to the $1.90. And we think the carry will continue to erode away.
Transportation-wise, how have things set up in the last week and a half? Has it changed much for you on the rail, and what do you hear about barge?
Well, we're seeing rail here in Illinois move fairly well, and actually with the problems that we had down in the Gulf, rail is moving to the Gulf fairly well. We're getting some decent turns coming back right now, although if you go off to the east and get into the northern tier states, rail is a much more significant issue since they're still in the gut slot of fall harvest, and we're seeing the main lines like the NS line from Cincinnati up to Fort Wayne is choked up, and so there's still some problems out there.
December oats settled the week at $1.62¾. They were off 3 cents. Wheat futures finished like this, a high at 329.5 in the December, the low at 315.5. That's a 0.5 cent above the contract low. December futures in the wheat pit at 317¾ on the end of the week. They were off 12¼ from last week. July futures at 348¾ were down a dime. There will be many that have decided to put wheat in the ground this fall, as opposed to maybe planting corn next season, because of some obvious reasons. Nitrogen cost one of them, and the cost of fuel the other. If they haven't locked in a July sale at this point, do you look ahead and do that?
Well, technically the wheat market's a little bit oversold here, so I'd be patient, see if we can't get some type of dead cat pounce or short covering move. But July wheat futures back above this 355 area, I think, is a good hedge point. As far as actual cash sales, you'll have to work out and check your basis and work with your elevator on that.
Yeah, soy complex. Now, beans. November contract, a high this week, 582, low at 563¼. The Nove settled at 565. They were off 7¼ from last week. July beans at 598½. We're down 3¼. Monday's first notice day for the November beans. Do you expect any complications through expiration?
No, not really. We think that the soybeans are fairly range-bound. We think we'll be trading between this 590 to 560 area. We've got two major issues out there with the South American concerns on dry weather, and we're also worried about bird flu. So we think those two things are keeping us trading in a range.
I'd agree. We're probably range-bound until we get a better handle on the South American crop, but I think China's going to be a good buyer on the breaks, and producers probably going to be a good seller, or bird flu worries on the rallies.
And what are your long-term expectations for the price of soybeans?
Right now, if you look just at the U.S. crop, I think you're looking at possibly a lows of around 525, could be back up to $6. But on the world situation, particularly with the problems with avian flu and the lack of the lowering of soybean meal usage, particularly in the Eastern, in the European Union and the Southeast, or Pacific Rim countries, that's probably going to have a very dampening effect on that. I mean, we've already got China's crushing capacity running at 50%. So I think that's all going to weigh on the market. The only potential upside that I see is any hiccups we have with the South American crop.
Have you heard much from your clientele about whether they would be willing or even thinking about switching to soybeans and more acres from corn, whether that be here in the Midwest or other parts of the nation? There's been a lot of talk that 1 to 3 million acres might come out of corn. Some of that may or may not come out of the Midwest. Some of it could come out of other places, I suppose, too.
Yeah, I think it's going to be just a little bit of everywhere. We're seeing guys sow wheat that's never sowed wheat in their lives, and a lot more guys go on wheat, a lot more beans. But I would be surprised if we didn't see a 2 million acre drop in corn.
From the livestock at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange this week, live cattle October contract had a high of 89.30, a low at 87.15. The October contract settled at $89 even, up 42.5 cents from last week. And the November feeder cattle at 115.35 were up 60 cents from last week. December lean hog, 61.70, the high. The low at 59.27.5, and Deese lean hog settled at $60.95. They were up 17.5 cents. February bellies at 89.60, up 140. From the livestock side on the cattle, it looks like Japan may actually open up its marketplace maybe as early as December, but that's always up in the air. So the question really is, if and when they open up, what happens to the marketplace for cattle in the United States?
Well, I think there's been a lot of anticipation that's built in. I'm looking at the Deese Fast, 92 cents is fairly rich here near term, especially having trouble with the cash here over the last few days. So when it does open up, I think it's going to be old news. This has been anticipated for the last year.
When we return, we'll talk with University of Illinois Extension Ag Economist Daryl Good.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Unusually warm weather the first half of the month has been offset by colder than normal weather the last 2 weeks. Temperatures this week averaged 8 to 10 degrees below normal, which has gone a long way to knocking the legs out from under the warmer than normal departures the first half of the month. Most of the departures were on the high temperature side of things, though. Low temperatures did not get as cold as they might have because of patchy cloudiness, which accompanied the strong upper-level system spinning through the Midwest. Temperatures for the month to date range from near normal along the Mississippi River to about 2 degrees above normal in northern Illinois. It was another dry week in Illinois as well, with only scattered light rainfall from instability and lake effect showers. The heaviest rainfall amounts were found near Lake Michigan in northeastern Illinois, where 1/4 to 1/2 inch amounts were not uncommon. Next week, we'll start off with a warming trend as southerly winds pick up across the Midwest. A disturbance moving out of the southern plains could dampen trick-or-treaters by Monday afternoon and evening, especially in southern and central Illinois. The rest of the week should be dry and mild for early November. Windy conditions will likely develop later in the week as a storm winds up over the northern plains. This system could bring some showers to Illinois by Friday. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at WILL.UIUC.edu. Click on AM and then on Agriculture.
I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists today on Commodity Week are Eric Scholler of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana, Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing from Normal, Illinois, and Larry Wood at the Andersons here in Champaign County. We're joined now by University of Illinois Extension Ag Economist Daryl Good from his office here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. Thanks for being with us this afternoon, Daryl.
My pleasure, Todd. Thank you.
Let's start out, Daryl, with this question. You're fond of saying the December contract for corn will usually trade above 270 sometime during the life of the contract. That hasn't happened yet for the 2006 December contract. What are the chances it will?
Well, I think at this juncture we'd have to say that getting that kind of rally in December 2006 is probably going to require some kind of concern about next year's crop. So we have seen it trade to 269. That's the contract high. Hasn't quite made it to 270, 275 yet. So it's going to have to be a weather thing, I think, at this juncture to generate that kind of strength.
Daryl, what's your projection here for the crop reports coming out here in November? Are we going to see a bigger crop?
Well, I tend to agree with your statement, Larry. It sure feels like a bigger crop when you look at the piles of corn we have on the ground. I just ran the numbers. We don't have September 1 stock numbers by region of the state, but when we look statewide, September 1 stocks of all grain and the October production forecasts of the fall harvested crops, Illinois is down 5% on total supply. But when you look around, it looks like we're having a lot of trouble handling smaller supplies of grain. So I'm wondering if we're not a little bit bigger. Maybe on corn nationally, wouldn't be surprised to see that number come up 100, even 150 million bushels on the November forecast.
One issue, is our corn demand. Do you think USDA has that overstated with the slow export pace we've seen so far?
I think there is a little concern about the slow export pace. Sales are decent at this point, and shipments picking up. So 2 billion bushels is a big number. That's almost 40 million a week, and we're certainly not doing that at this point. I think there is some optimism that perhaps domestic consumption will be a little stronger than forecast by the USDA, both livestock feed and perhaps ethanol use as well. So the difficulty there is we really get deep into the marketing year. It's January before we really get much of a read on domestic feed use. But we might be a little bit hopeful that that January stock report indicates a little heavier use.
Daryl, in the world corn demands, particularly China, are we even closer to seeing China be an importer at some point in time?
I think there's a lot of agreement that at some point in time, but it doesn't appear to be right around the corner. Seeing China continue to export corn, and again, last year, exports were much larger from China than forecast early in the year. Those are expected to be down dramatically again this year, and certainly their production has stabilized, really stagnated, and we do think that domestic use there is continuing to increase 2-3% a year. So unless they can somehow kickstart an increase in production, one would think that 2-3 years down the road we could expect zero exports, if not some imports, into China.
Daryl, do you think on China and their crushing capacity being down as much as it is that primarily due to this problem with the avian flu there?
I think that's probably the case, although wouldn't be surprised that they did generate some inventory of product as well with the huge crush rate of last year. But mm-hmm. I would guess it's primarily the avian flu situation that's impacting current demand there.
Earlier in the week when we had a discussion, you were fairly content that the cash lows have been put in, at least for the corn and probably for the soybean market. Have the contract lows in the December corn futures this week changed your mind at all?
No, I don't think so. I was glad to hear what Larry said. It looks like that the basis is improving, and certainly we did see that this week. The average Central Illinois basis strengthened about 9 cents on corn this week. So, if we're 4 to 5 cents maybe from the bottom in the futures market, I think we can be hopeful that we've seen the low in the cash market.
There's a lot of hype out there right now about biodiesel production, and everyone's talking about a big surge. Do you expect biodiesel to just jump up a lot within a year or two, or do you think it'll take more like the ethanol 4 or 5 years to get going?
Well, I think there is some opportunity to see an increase, but to get a really robust jump there, We have to invest in some capacity, and clearly that is happening. We hear reports of plants being developed, but those don't spring up overnight, as everyone knows. So it will take some time, but you know, a year or two down the road, if current economics hold up, if we continue to see high petroleum prices and relatively low vegetable oil prices, one would think that we could see a significant increase.
Could you share with us your thoughts on South America, what type of production numbers you maybe see coming out of there this winter?
Well, right now, USDA is saying for all of South America, Brazil, Argentina, Paraguay, Bolivia, almost 4 billion bushels expected to be harvested there. That encompasses a slight reduction in acreage and a return to normal yields. You would have to say that they're not getting off to the best start down there. So I think we have to fade that number a little bit right now. How much, I don't really know. Looks like it could be a record crop, but perhaps fall short of that 4 billion bushel mark.
Darrell, you're in part responsible for the FarmDoc website, and I know you talked to the academics there, that your colleagues in the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Economics. What have been the discussions on the financial side of the farm that have taken place recently that concerned, for instance, Dale Latz or Gary Schnitke, some of the other ag economists there? Are they concerned mostly about the price of land, or are there the price of fuel and fertilizer? What are the kinds of things that the academics are working on at this time?
Well, I think the immediate concern, kind of the red flag that's being waved, is one that everybody is aware of, and that's the escalating input costs that led by fertilizer, but also diesel fuel and seed costs and pesticides all going up. Schnitke and Latz remind us that, you know, just in the last 3 years, we've seen the input costs on corn go up more than $40 an acre, soybeans about $20, and it doesn't look like we're at the end of that kind of increase. So I think it's that kind of squeeze that, you know, we've dealt with low commodity prices a lot, and government payments help soften the blow of that. But this kind of rapid increase in input costs has been kind of rare, fortunately, but it has been very steep and looks like it will continue.
Can you give us a preview and do two things for me to, at this time? Preview of the Farm Income series that's due in December, what that is, and then how this kind of this topic might be addressed during those meetings?
I can do that briefly, Todd. We will hold five regional seminars in December. Those will be ranging south and north from Mount Vernon, Urbana, Springfield, Rochelle, and Moline, beginning on December 8th and going through December 20th. Those are a full-day seminar with general topics and also breakout sessions on issues that we think will be important as producers look to 2006 and the decisions they have to make. One of the topics that we will be addressing is this escalation of input costs. We have a presentation entitled Implications for Crop Rotations and Cash Rents. So this issue you were discussing a little bit earlier about will we see a switch in crop rotations, we will be trying to address that a little bit in this seminar as well.
Can you give us a preview of what Gary Schnitke's work might say?
Well, at this juncture, if you plug in projected costs and what the market is offering for next year's corn and soybean crops, the budgets would say the profit potential looks stronger for soybeans than for second-year corn at this point. Now, what we know is that the market may make adjustments as we move into the new year. If the market decides that we need less or more corn, price can adjust to do that. But right now, there does seem to be a strong economic advantage to putting some soybeans back in the rotation.
And those wanting to sign up for those can hit the FarmDoc website. There are five or six of them across the state. Five, right?
Five, yes.
Five across the state of Illinois, FarmDoc at www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. The cost is $40. for pre-registration, $45 if you walk in at the door.
That's correct, Todd.
Well, what would be your best marketing strategy you could pass on to us today?
The best is not necessarily good, I think, at this point, but I tend to agree with what I heard from the panel is in corn, really about the only opportunity we have are either continue to store unpriced, thinking that we will see some seasonal rally in prices into the spring of the year, but recognize it might take that long to get much of a rally, or secondly, sell the carry, that is, do some storage hedges. And I kind of like the idea of maybe looking at some deferred options. We can use the carry in the market to help pay for those options is one way to look at that. So if you think that cash prices could rebound more than the market is offering right now, those options would pay off that way. So I think a combination of storing some unpriced, stored some hedged is probably the way to go on corn right now. Soybeans, I think, is a tougher call. We do have a decent carry in the market out to next summer. I wouldn't be opposed, particularly for farm-stored soybeans, to be looking at selling the carry there as well. We're still near $6 in the summer contracts. Might not be a bad price.
Anything else to add before we let you go for the day?
I think that's it, Todd.
Thanks much.
Thank you.
Darrell Good is Extension Ag Economist here at the University of Illinois, joining us on Commodity Week today. Now, a final word from our panelists. We'll start with you, Larry Wood.
Well, I hope everybody had a safe fall harvest this year. we've certainly seen a lot more corn than we ever expected to see. And as we suggested today, I'd certainly get out there and sell the carries on whatever you might have stored or deferred on pricing at this point in time. And don't forget to set your clock Saturday night and get that extra hour of sleep.
Eric Schuller?
Basically the same there. Make sure we sell the carry and take advantage of the opportunities we have right now before they erode away.
And Kurt Kimmel?
Yeah, one strategy we like is to capture a few pennies here and there. May sell out-of-the-money calls on the deferreds. The only way that's be wrong if the market goes up, and that would be more than welcomed.
Thanks much, gentlemen. We appreciate it. We'd like to thank our panelists today. Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. Larry Wood of the Andersons here in Champaign County, Illinois. And Eric Schuller of Risk Management Commodities from Lafayette, Indiana. And that wraps up this edition of Commodity Week. Something to keep in mind, you can access this Commodity Week program and analysis throughout the week. That on demand right there on your computer. Our site on the World Wide Web is WILL.UIUC.EDU. Click on AM. And then, of course, agriculture. There you'll find Commodity Week, weekly analysis, cash grain reports, weather, and feature interviews with agricultural newsmakers. I'm Todd Gleason for your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations, Dave Dickey. You have a good week.
Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, working with the American farmer, creating products from his crops, creating markets for crops. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.